You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, and thank you for joining me again today. In today's episode, my guest Danielle and I are getting back to some of the basics of marketing and how everything you do to market your salon all stems from one thing, your brand. More specifically, Danielle breaks down what a brand is and what a brand isn't, as well as the three layers of your brand strategy that you need to be crystal clear on crafting your marketing messages and campaigns that will provide you with a healthy return on both your time, very important, and money investment. Now, in addition to being a strategist and digital marketer for her own business, Roots to Petal Creative, Danielle is also a member of the Salon Owners Collective. And this really gives her a unique perspective in leading digital marketing strategies and their application for both online businesses like mine and bricks and mortar salon businesses like yours. So let's jump straight into our chat with Danielle. Danielle, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, look, let's kick things off by why don't you introduce yourself? What do you do? Where are you in the world? And how did you come to be doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I'm Danielle, and I am a digital marketer and strategist for beauty and wellness brands and experts. Currently live in Jacksonville, Florida, so very southeastern corner of the United States. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, how I got to where I am now. I'm trying to think of the short and condensed version. So I always have had a love of the beauty industry. When I was in high school, I thought I was going to go to school for makeup artistry or hairstyling or something related to that field. But during that time was also one of the worst recessions the U.S. has had. So I was able to go to a full, you know, full ride to a college, state university. And that was a little bit of the safer option. So went into communications and PR. And this was also around the time that social media was beginning to emerge. And I was in the very interesting position of being in school and doing my internships and working while in school. And I had C-level executives asking me, how do you use Facebook for your business? And other things that were kind of new emerging media. And while I was in college, I worked for the same, it was a health and fitness facility. And I did everything from customer service to marketing for them. And eventually, after I graduated, I moved with my then boyfriend, now husband, up to DC, where I began working at a local but very well-known fitness and wellness facility up there. But they were very unique in the sense that they also had a salon and a spa underneath their roof as well. They were kind of a sister company that fell within this larger umbrella. So there I learned sales, marketing, and I eventually, my husband's career path takes him to a lot of different places and requires us to move every few years. And it just became very clear that holding down a job was going to be difficult. So I branched off on my own doing marketing and communications as a freelancer. And my first clients were the companies that I worked for. So that fitness facility, as well as the salon that existed within that fitness facility. And from there, it's just kind of naturally evolved where I've formed this business that I now do a range of digital marketing and brand strategy, primarily for wellness and beauty-based businesses. So that's kind of the long short of it, of how I got to where I am today.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I always think, you know, when your lifestyle means that you need to move every so many years, I just think, wow, that's another whole dynamic that affects everything.
So I take my hat off to you for, you know, dealing with that. You know, I just can't imagine having been born and bred and still living in the same city my entire life. It's hard for me to imagine.
Yes, no, and I thought that's how I would always be. And yeah, my husband kind of threw me for a loop. He kind of came in at the time I didn't expect. But it's been a great adventure. And I really do love getting to work with such a variety of business owners. And I don't think I would do that if I worked a normal kind of corporate job, unless I worked on the agency side. But I really love working with small, independent brick and mortar business owners.
Yeah. And so the other really great thing is that you get to work with companies all around the world, mm-hmm. because just for sort of context of what Danielle does, Danielle works with the Salon Owners Collective, and you are in charge of the digital content strategy and implementation. And so any word that's written these days, it's got Danielle's fantastic flair over the top of it. So, you know, here we are, I'm in New Zealand, you're in the States, and, you know, our team is distributed all around the world. And I just find that, you know, quite mind-boggling, but really exciting that we have the ability to do that, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, that kind of blows my mind every day when I think about it, that I get to collaborate with people, and here we are talking, and we're on complete other sides of the globe. But it sounds like I'm sitting right here with you in my living room.
I know. And you're about to close off for the day and head off to bed, and I've just got up, and we're just kicking things off. So, mm-hmm. all right. So one of the things that, you know, is that you really focus on for the hair and beauty industry, as well as companies like mine that service the hair and beauty industry, is brand strategy. And so you're going to bring some of your expertise and some key tips around that. So I can't wait to hear what you've got to say.
Yeah. So I'll just kind of, start off by maybe giving a little bit of a broad overview of the idea of branding, just because, when we think of a brand, we think of our brand name, favorite items, maybe our household name items, things like Nike, a logo, you think of the swoosh, but your brand really isn't your logo. It's more of a experience that you provide and the personality of your business. And it's kind of a living and breathing thing that evolves as your business grows. But really everything you do marketing wise comes from that brand and stems from that brand that you've built. And so today I thought I would talk about the three core pillars that make up your brand strategy. And it's those core pillars that if one of them is not fully expressed, or you haven't really looked into it, it can make everything else feel shaky, from your website to the signage you're putting up in your salon to just a host of things that you're putting out to communicate with your clients. If one of these pillars isn't in place or not very clear on your end, it really can impede you from being able to connect with your clients in the way that's going to make it an easy yes for them to say, this is my salon, this is where I go, and that they're loyal to you. So,
yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah. So the first, let's see, kind of try to ease in a order that it builds off of each other. So I always think that the first thing that people really need to get clear on when knowing their brand strategy is knowing yourself. And that might sound strange, but you know you best. And that means being very clear on your zone of genius, the values you hold for your salon and your business, your mission, and those things are what will drive your brand voice and your brand personality. And a lot of times you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm the salon owner. It's not just me. I have a team of stylists, or I have a team of people. So the brand is not just about me. But truthfully, if you're the owner, your brand is about you, because you wouldn't create a business that was so radically different from you. Because think about it, it would feel kind of like wearing a dress that's too tight, or wearing an outfit that made you feel awkward. You wouldn't build a business that was totally unlike yourself.
For sure.
So yeah, it's just, that's kind of how I like to think of it. And we can all think of those times where we've been wearing something that we just feel really uncomfortable in, and it just doesn't feel right. And if you don't get to know you and really meditate on what your values are and your mission, you then are going to have a very difficult time being able to express what your brand is truly about, because it's not going to be something you can truly stand behind.
So I want to make comment on that, because I think sometimes the challenge is that we are so in our own goldfish bowl, we're so in our own business, and it just is the way that it is because it is the way that we are. Mm-hmm. To get outside of your goldfish bowl and look at yourself objectively is actually really hard. Do you know, if we go back to the dress analogy, and you put on something that wouldn't fit, you just wouldn't even think for a moment that you would buy it or continue to wear it. You just switch back to something that's more comfortable. But until we actually go out shopping and try on a bunch of dresses, sometimes we don't know what our style is until we know what it isn't. And I think sometimes we're so in our business and we just do what we do, that until you've got context, or for example, somebody comes into your business that doesn't fit, it's that the ability to assess what isn't you that helps you be objective about what is you, because you are just being you. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We put blinders on, I think, yeah, when we're in the day in and day out of our businesses. And I know salon owners, you know, they have a lot on their plate, especially if they are still in the role of taking on clients themselves and they haven't transitioned away to really being the business owner, the salon owner, which is, you know, what I know you help people do, is find freedom and profit in their business and their salon. And it's, if you're in that day-to-day minutia and operations, it can be hard to take that step outside and look with some self-awareness. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes complete sense. Getting on top of who you are and having clarity around that so you can put it out there and start mm-hmm. to live and breathe it. Yeah, that's the message there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then core number two, or your pillar number two, is knowing your buyers or your ideal client. Mm-hmm. So the people who are actually coming in and asking to purchase your services, and knowing them. And I truly think salon owners and stylists are some of the most blessed people with getting to know their ideal mm-hmm. clients, because people will tell you anything when they're sitting in your chair.
That's so true.
So you guys know your audience better than most business owners. A lot of other industries, you know, or industries where maybe it's not person-to-person services, they really have a hard time pulling that information out of their clients to figure out who they really are. But you, I'm sure, you know, if you're sitting here listening to this, you can think of someone who is your favorite type of client, someone who comes in and you're so happy that they're on your books that day, and that they have an appointment with you, and that is your ideal client. The person that you say, if I could have 20, 50, 100 more of these type of people, we would be set.
And getting as long as she's the one that does the buying and has
it. Yes, exactly. Like the best client is the one who wants to buy from you.
For sure.
And it's just, you have to know even just what may seem like unimportant details really are, because they will drive the way that you talk to a certain client. So for instance, things like, what do they do for a living? What's really important to them? How do they spend their time when they're not at work? You know, work takes up a big part of everyone's lives. So what do they enjoy doing when they're relaxing at home on the weekends? What other brands do they like? What do they wear? What kind of car do they drive? What other places do they shop, whether that be locally or more of your bigger brand names that are more global. And getting to know some of those factors will help you piece together a persona of that ideal client that you can always have in the back of your mind when you're creating marketing materials, because when you're creating various touch points of your marketing, whether that's writing your website copy or putting together some Facebook ads or Facebook messages that you have going out, those are things that you want to be very specific that you're talking to one type of person, and you're not trying to talk to everyone, because if you're trying to talk to everyone, you're really speaking to no one. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. Actually, a good example would be that salon that I did do marketing for. It was in the DC area, which if anyone's familiar with the DC area in the US, it's very vanilla. People don't wear a lot of color there. It's very buttoned up, very professional. And that salon that I did marketing for was actually very different in the sense that they did not cater to the buttoned up professional. They really catered to the creative workers in the city who are a smaller population, but they needed a home too. And so their marketing was very kind of loud, bold colors, little edgier, and that type of personality drew in their ideal clients. Not to say that we didn't have some people come in who were government workers that worked down the street, but they really knew that their ideal client was not going to fit that government worker persona, which is, I would say, about 60 to 70% of the DC market. And they really wanted to get the rest of that market saying, hey, you guys are the creatives. You're the ones that work in the maybe the offbeat industries here in the city, and we're your home away from home. So,
yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I actually have a client, a salon owner I'm working with at the moment, who is exactly that. She doesn't want to be mainstream. She wants to, you know, to connect with the people who feel like they are the outliers and don't fit. And, you know, she's personally got great tattoos and really bright colored hair, and she's just a gorgeous woman. But having that confidence to really say that, you know, we're not for everybody. We're just for those that want to be different or feel different or want a different type of experience. You know, how do we get our confidence to really, really narrow down our niche, so to speak? Because the question I get asked a lot is, but if I only speak to those people, what about the rest?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great question. You have to be okay. Well, you have to be okay with that. All kind of comes back to knowing who you are. So your example, you know, the example of your client would really feel out of place if she tried to pretend to be anything she wasn't. Yeah. So naturally you have to go into that space that you feel comfortable speaking in and attracting the people like you or the people that will resonate with who you are, because those will be the people that stick around. And if you think about even just, let's just say you were in a really crowded room with 500 people and someone's screaming into a megaphone and they're just saying, you know, goodness knows what, but if they say your name or they say all of the salon owners in the room, your ears are going to perk up because you're going, well, I'm a salon owner. And maybe not everyone in that room is a salon owner. Yeah. So by really calling out the specifics of who you're trying to speak to, you're going to actually capture attention versus when you are very unsure or not clear in who you're speaking to. It's really going to fall on deaf ears. So the confidence, I think, can surely come from knowing that if you fail to step into who you really are, you just simply won't be attracting the people that really will stick with you and be loyal and be your best clients. And the question is, do you really want to risk that?
Yeah. Yeah. Or fail to attract anybody, in actual fact,
mm-hmm.
because because then your messaging becomes diluted and unconfident and it's not clear. And so nobody pays attention.
Exactly. Exactly.
So one of the thoughts that come to my mind, you know, in talking about that is that there's this sort of need, I think, and I think it's a sort of a social need to feel like we're touching more and more people. For me, it's a little bit of a vanity metric, right? How many people are liking our post? How many people are following our page? And there's this sort of insatiable need to have more. But really what we're saying is when you are really clear about who you're speaking to, it might be a minority group, but you're going to speak to less people, but you're going to have a stronger connection and a higher conversion. That means, you know, the more we're talking to less people, but more of those people are going to become our customers and feel good about just letting go of the number. And in fact, you almost want to have a smaller group, but a really clear niche, really clear audience. Is that a fair comment?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in when it comes down to followers, because I know that's a popular thing. People like to say, I want to increase my followers or my page likes. Then the reality is every like or every follower represents a real person, or, you know, these days, maybe not, just because there's, I know some robot accounts out there that will follow and unfollow, but if we're looking at the big picture here, it represents a real person. And if I were to look at an account that has, let's just say 500 followers versus an account that has 1,000 followers, so double the amount. But for the account that has 500 followers, they have people consistently commenting and engaging and asking about what stylist did this, I love this, or messaging you to figure out, you know, when the next or what service this was and how can they get in for a booking, versus the 1,000 follower page, which maybe has very little engagement, maybe some likes, but not a lot of actual conversation happening. Who's really winning there?
I agree.
Yeah. And it all comes down to, like you said, it's a vanity metric, and it really comes down to how many people are truly reaching out and showing that they're engaged and that they're listening.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So if anything, for me, it takes the pressure off to have to be constantly counting more and more people. And it actually allows us to focus on the people who really matter, or, you know, that we want to connect with. So I think, I think that's actually a much better approach, and it's more authentic to us too, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. When you can take your mind off of just gathering followers and you can actually focus on having real conversations with people who you would love to have in your salons, actually sitting in your chairs, it also becomes just a lot more fun, because
for sure,
chances are you didn't get into this industry not being a people person of some degree. You have to have those people skills. And when you're having great conversations and someone's really interested in the work that you're doing and they're admiring the work you're doing, that becomes really fun. So focusing on that engagement, and when you see more of it, I think that'll become the main motivator rather than the follower count.
For sure. Absolutely. Okay. So what about, you know, how do we stand out? How do we show off our expertise? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that actually comes down to my third pillar for brand strategy, actually, which is knowing, I kind of use the words interchangeably. I say your competitors, but I also mean knowing what your differentiators are. And when we think of competitors, we maybe think of the salon, a couple miles down the road, and we think of them as our competitor, but really having it be a broader look in terms of the industry at large, as well as the people maybe in your general area, but knowing what makes you different. So that's where knowing yourself, but also what makes your services different and your environment different. I think there's a few factors that go into what you can do to stand out, and some of those might be your atmosphere and environment. So the actual mood and setting that you provide in your salon, the services you offer, and any extras that you may offer as a experience level. So for instance, just as an example, when I was in college, I went to a, it sounds kind of cheesy, but I promise they did it really well. It was a beach themed salon, and it was a very, and when I say beach themed, it was very, kind of like upscale beach, like relaxing day at the beach, kind of cabana style. And,
it's so cool.
It was very cool. I loved going there. And I mean, I loved my stylist. She always did a wonderful job, but, the thing that made them really stand out was one, their environment. So their entire salon theme and decor was very, calm and zen and very beachy themed. But then they also, rather than offering your standard glass of champagne or Chardonnay, something light and refreshing to drink, they went on the side of offering a Land Shark beer, which I'm not sure if you have that in your area, but it's a it's a beach style beer that's very popular here, or a sparkling sangria. So just those little touches of, instead of the standard Chardonnay, offering those little complimentary beverages and their decor. Those were a couple ways that they stood out. Or the salon that I did marketing for in DC, they were under the same facility as the fitness facility, and there was also a spa in-house. So out of all the salons in the city, this was the only place you could go to that you could get, you could go take a yoga class, book a massage, and then go get a blowout done before your date night on a Friday night. So that's how they were different. So thinking of ways that you can provide a level of service or an atmosphere that's different than what other places in your area are doing. And one of, another salon that I know was in the area, I never personally went, but, a balayage-focused salon, so a niche salon where you only offer one type of coloring service and you're the best at that service. Of course, that's really going to depend on your market if that's going to allow you to be successful, but those are the type of things that you need to think about when thinking of how you're going to stand out among a sea of similar businesses to yours.
Yeah, for sure. And I actually think that's really, really important because, you know, people want to go to an expert, right? You know, we go to the general doctor when we're sort of having general ailments, but if we need plastic surgery, we don't go to the doctor, we go to a specialist, you know? And, you know, so I think, you know, people resonate with, you know, I want the best. If you can stand up and say that you're a specialist at something, then you're not only going to attract the type of clients that you want to do and the type of work that you want to do, but, you know, people are going to feel confident before they step in the door, or a certain level of confidence. That's definitely a strategy I see work a lot, and it worked very well when I had my own salon. We became a wedding specialist, and the funny thing was that I was petrified of doing long hair prior, but I saw the, you know, the gap in the market, and so we trained ourselves and we upskilled and we went to courses and we practiced at Little Hearts Out so we could specialize in that and really capture the market. And it just worked so, so well for us. And we went on and quote unquote specialized in other things over the years. But I think, you know, you can be specialist in many things, but having a service speciality, I think, is definitely a must in today's environment, whatever that may be, right?
Exactly. Or even having stylists who, you know, leveraging their unique specialties within your salon and really pointing people to, you know, what is it you're looking for? Well, so-and-so would be a great stylist for you. They're really an expert in curly hair or thick and dense hair, whatever it may be, really leveraging those things that make you an expert.
Yes, absolutely. And do you know what? It gives you lots of content to talk about on social and on your website.
Yeah.
And it highlights certain people in your business and gives them, you know, an opportunity to really excel and make them feel special about something, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look, that's been so super useful, and, you know, getting clear on yourself, which is the hard one, I think, sometimes. Getting clear on your ideal client, but having some clarity around your area of expertise. And I think that combination, right, is really where your brand strategy needs to be focused.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now you're a business owner yourself, and tell us, what is a quote or a mantra or something that's kept you sane over the years of being a business owner?
Yes, no, I have many, but I think the ones that I come down to repeatedly are a quote being, "We become what we repeatedly do," by Sean Covey. And that one just really speaks to me, because I think, especially, you know, I do a lot of copywriting, and I hear so many times clients I work with, they'll say, "I'm just not a writer," and "I'm not a writer." And but you become what you repeatedly do. So the idea of practice makes perfect. And of course, we have to know when we're not the best at something, and when something's not our zone of genius, and we can outsource it and then focus on the things that are top priority for us. But at the same time, you know, being a business owner, you wear a lot of hats, and you do kind of have to try your hand at a little bit of everything along the journey. So I think just having that in the back of your mind, where you can say, you know, "I'm going to get better at this the more I do it," and not get too in your head about how awful you are at something, which for me would be bookkeeping.
I think that's so true, because we can give ourselves a hard time. "Oh, I'm so terrible at that." You listen to your own language and you can hear it, right? "Oh, I'm so terrible at that." But in fact, actually, if we flip it and say, you know, the more I do it, the better I'll get, then it changes your whole approach.
Yes.
To a project. And same for your staff. I think, you know, we look at somebody who maybe they make a mistake, or they're not very good at something now. Say maybe they're not good at balayage, or they're not good at foiling. And we say, "Oh, you're terrible at that. We can't let you do that." Rather than saying, "Oh, well, you know, the more you practice, the better you'll get, and soon you'll be an expert." Okay, I love that. I think that's a great quote. All right, what about a book or another podcast or a webinar that you can suggest that our listeners should listen to?
So So for a book, I would say, when it comes to the concept of branding, which I think once people kind of grasp what it is, they get a little more interested in it. I love the book, The Brand Gap, by Marty Neumeier. It's a very quick read. You can read it in one sitting. It's just a very good, comprehensive overview of what a brand is and how to go about positioning yourself differently in the marketing place. It's kind of just a good go-to reminder. So I love that book. And then I love the podcast, The Art of Paid Traffic, with Rick Mulready.
Yeah.
He goes into Facebook ad strategies, and some of what he talks about is pretty advanced. and technical, but I think what he does differently that I really love is, so many podcasts out there are geared towards online business owners. And I really love, how he does case studies, and he talks with a lot of, brick and mortar business owners who serve local areas, and talks about how to leverage Facebook ads to work for your small local business. And I just think he has a lot of insight that I learned from not even owning a brick and mortar business. So
Yeah. I agree. He's on my podcast library, I have to say. He's great. Okay, fantastic. Really good recommendations. Thank you so much. So look, I appreciate that all that you've brought. You are a super smart and so good at what you do, and I really appreciate what you do for the Salon Owners Collective. So I'm very pleased to have share your knowledge with all the listeners. So thanks for coming, Danielle.
Oh, thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Yeah, awesome. So where can people find you? What's your www so we can all stalk you?
Yeah, so I actually just moved over to my new brand. It's at www.roottopetalcreative.com. So root as in a plant root, and then to a flower petal creative.com. And I'm root to petal creative. Yeah, it's a little bit of a conceptual idea. But then on social media, I'm root to petal creative across social.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for joining us. And I'll see you on the other side.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. Now, thanks for joining me again today. This episode was brought to you by Salon Bot. You know that we're in an era of instant messaging, and if you want to be leading the way and really elevate your brand's experience, then Salon Bot not only saves you up to 70% of your time back and forth, but also helps you attract clients like a boss using modern messenger marketing. Now check it out at www.salonownerscollective.com or come and join us at the Modern Messenger for Salon Owners private Facebook group. Thanks for joining me today, and I really look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.